Welcome. We're recording on Friday, February 11th, and I'm here. My name is Medea Alatini, and I'm here with Dr. Catherine Elliott, the Acting Chief Medical Officer of Health for UConn. I'm zooming in from the traditional territory of Kuanlin Dun and Ta'an Kwuchun Council here in Whitehorse, or Kuanlin U. And Catherine, I believe you're zooming in from the same traditional territory.
I sure am. Yep.
Pleasure. Yes. Welcome. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know that there's not much time for break, so really appreciate you stepping out of your schedule and providing us with some additional information. So we have a number of questions today around boosters and then Omicron and how that's presenting. And I think we'll just jump right in.
So that's great. Thanks for having me, Nathia. Appreciate it.
I'm pleased you're here. The first question is around boosters. And so NACI released guidelines, I think it was early last week, around immunocompromised youth and those in Indigenous communities that they should be getting their COVID-19 booster. Are plans underway to roll that out here in UConn? And do you anticipate that all kids 12 to 17 will need a booster at some point?
Yeah, you're right. NACI rolled out, or the National Advisory Committee on Immunization, rolled out new recommendations that a booster be offered at least 6 months after receiving second shot, particularly focused on immunocompromised youth and those in Indigenous communities, based on where they're seeing severe disease. Here in UConn, we have a number of reasons that it's worthwhile having all of our youth be offered this booster. And I'll go through those a little bit. A booster is really a reminder to the immune system. So if you think about it, the first dose is the first time many people will have seen those virus particles or the spike protein particles in their body, and they'll respond to that. The second dose is usually about 8 weeks later. And it's a reminder. It helps to deepen and strengthen the immune response. So you have just a smarter immune system. And then following that, having over the time period, the months that follow, we can see that there's a waning immunity, which means that it just takes the body a little bit longer to pull that knowledge out and use it to fight any infection. And the booster helps to bring that waning back up above the level after that second dose. So it's a very protective measure, and it protects from infection. And it also, and most importantly, protects from severe disease. Youth who are particularly vulnerable to severe disease it's really important for those youth to get the booster. And that's really those who are moderately or severe immunocompromised. It also includes people of any background who live in conditions that are crowded. And this is because if there's one person sick in that house, usually, or home, there's usually a couple other people. And with that crowding, each person is exposed to a lot of virus, and a lot of virus means you need to have a really good immune system to be able to fight that virus. Other risk factors like diabetes or obesity, lung disease, intellectual impairment, these are all things that put youth at big, greater risk. And that's why, because we have youth throughout the territory with these conditions, both Indigenous youth and non-Indigenous youth, this is why it's so important. Why would it be important to the rest of youth? Well, it's important because it just makes the immune system stronger. This is a recommendation. However, it's optional, and everybody can make their own decision based on their own family and family situation. And that's why this informed consent is just so important. There's also, of course, parents are naturally concerned about potential side effects of the vaccine and the booster. There is a very rare risk of this inflammation around the heart, myocarditis, inflammation of the heart muscle, or pericarditis of the wrapping of the heart. And this has happened with boosters. It's very rare, but this group, particularly males who are in this group, are among of all the people with a tiny little risk, they have the largest tiny risk of this condition. So what we know from adults is that having a long interval between the second dose and the booster is protective, makes it less likely to have this. And we also know that the overwhelming majority of people with this very rare side effect don't even need hospital care. So they recover on their own. So it's a balancing act between right now with Omicron in the territory, the risk of infection is really high. The risk of having a severe outcome of infection really depends on how healthy that youth is. And then the risk of this rare side effect, very rare, but many parents want to protect their children from that as well. So it's really balancing those risks as parents determine whether that's something that they want to have.
So I just wanted to highlight the individuals that are living in a crowded situation, but you could also be living in a household with elderly or with children that cannot yet be vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Is that a cohort that you're encouraging to get a booster? Mm-hmm.
I think any of us who are around people with vulnerabilities want to protect those people. So if you're less likely to get infection, which you are when you get that booster, you're less likely to bring that infection to those people who you care about who are more at risk. For example, people who are older. The risk goes up by age group. Over 50, those with chronic disease have a risk, significant risk of severe impacts. Over 70, regardless of chronic disease status, have that risk. So, you know, definitely that's a way to protect the people you love and care about and be able to spend time with them in those meaningful ways. So certainly that's important. Also not wanting to infect anybody in your community or your home. These are things that are important and ways that we can protect those people. I know for my kids, they were excited to get, my daughter had her second dose right before we visited her grandparents, and we sent them a photo, and she was just so proud of protecting them, knowing that it wasn't really her who was at risk of severe disease, but to be sure that she wasn't going to bring, or reassured that it was much less likely that she would bring that disease into their home. That was really important for her. So mm-hmm. I think it's something to be proud of.
I'm just thinking of the risks, like that risk factor of myocarditis or pericarditis. Mm-hmm. That risk is not just with the vaccine, is it? Like, if you contract COVID, you could develop these results as well.
That's right. So the risks for people who contract COVID, of course, the risks are greater if they're immunosuppressed or have other chronic conditions. The risks are of some of the severe outcomes, again, rare, but possible, include a condition called multi-system inflammatory condition in children. And that condition includes inflammation of many parts of the body, including around the heart. And so when a person's infected, of course, this multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children is one of the risks. And there is myocarditis as a part of this syndrome. So the reported rate, for example, from France was 1.1 of the severe condition per million doses of the vaccine. And then with the burden of disease, the risk, for example, for ICU is low, but we have seen less than 1% of cases are hospitalized. So you can see, you know, you're balancing this less than 1% risk of hospitalization with infection with a 1 in a million risk of myocarditis with the vaccine. So a really substantially increased, greater risk of hospitalization than of this rare disease.
Yeah. And I think that's an important note. So for those adult Yukoners who just had COVID-19 but hadn't had a chance to get their booster dose, should they get their booster dose right away or should they wait a while and how long?
So for adult Yukoners who've had two doses and then they did get infected, what the recommendation is at this point is that they need to wait at least 6 months from that second dose. And if they were infected in that 6 month period, they need to wait a further 90 days from the onset of symptoms. Or some people don't have symptoms but have a positive test. For those people, it's the test date. So they need to wait 90 days from when that the infection started. So that way they're getting a little bit of a boost from that infection and then getting a further boost, a stronger boost from the booster.
Great, thank you. We just saw within a recent announcement, just recognizing that in the North, across the North, we are all experiencing the higher uptake or higher number of cases and with that, the resulting hospitalizations. We just learned over the past couple of days that there were a few individuals in NWT who didn't seek medical help, who were sick at home with COVID. So what signals for those who are who have tested positive on a rapid test, they're staying home, they're watching their symptoms, what indications or what signals should they be watching for and calling medical help for?
This is such an important question. What we see with Omicron infection is that many people have mild disease and that should be resolving in within 5 to 7 days. If people continue to be sick after 5 to 7 days, and what I mean by sick is, you know, in bed, short of breath, unable to do daily activities that they would normally do, still having a fever, these are cautionary signs that your body is struggling with this infection and you should seek medical attention. Even if you know you're not sick enough to be hospitalized, somebody should be keeping an eye on you and making sure you're doing all that's possible to stay healthy. And so it's important to reach out to the community health center and seek that help, to reach out if you have a primary healthcare provider or, for example, a family doctor, to reach out to that doctor and explain that you, you know, you're asking for an assessment, which might be virtual, just to optimize all of your pieces. And if you need to be seen in person for someone to listen to your heart and lungs and see how you're really doing, the testing center in Whitehorse is able to has nurse practitioners available to see you, the community health center. And of course, there's always the emergency department. Please don't hesitate to reach out. COVID can be a very serious illness in some people and the care is so important. If at any time you're short of breath, have chest pain, unable to cope, absolutely phone 911. And if you're still have quite a lot of illness after 5 to 7 days, please get assessed. Don't wait it out at home without care. Thanks.
Thank you. And that's so important. Just the testing center, that's the one by the driver's licensing.
By the driver's licensing. Yes. Not by Centennial Motors, but the one down in the downtown area by the driver's licensing center. You just go online, look up testing Yukon and there's a phone number there and you can book an appointment online as well.
Mm-hmm. And for those who are
don't
not
have online, there's a phone number. Yes.
They can call 811 or call your local nursing station.
Yes. Absolutely.
For those that, because we're now in a stage of self-management, what are some things that Yukoners should have at home to help manage their infection if they get it? And are there any medications people can take like Tylenol or,
So first of all of us should have at home enough food and water and supplies to be at home for 10 days, because this could happen to any of us at any time. I myself have supplies for 14 days just to be on the safe side in case someone gets sick in my household and then another person gets sick. You might be looking at 14 days at home. So that's the first thing that's really important. The next thing to think about is what types of medicines you're on for a chronic disease. So if you have a chronic lung condition, a heart condition, other conditions, you need to have those medicines at home that can carry you through that period. And that's really important, particularly if you're on a puffer for asthma, for example, you're going to want to optimize that during a time when you're infected with COVID-19. In addition, many people with COVID-19 have a fever or feel otherwise unwell. It's important to drink plenty of liquids, eat healthy foods that you can. And it's definitely helpful for many to take some kind of over-the-counter fever-reducing medicine like Tylenol, otherwise known as acetaminophen, or ibuprofen, which is known as Advil. You want the ones that I'd be cautious about cough and cold remedies, because they often have something in them that helps you sleep. That can be helpful for some people. For others, it can be too sedating. So, you know, getting knowing what you're taking is really important. If you're not sure, call 811 or call your nursing center, call your pharmacist. These people can all help you with which medicine is the appropriate one. If you have a chronic condition and you get COVID-19, it's a good idea to check in with your primary healthcare provider. Make sure that everything's optimized as well.
Thank you. And maybe just for our last question, we've heard a lot about the approval of Paxlovid, and that it's coming into the territory. Could you just describe what that is and how UConners would be accessing it?
Yes. I actually just want to say one other thing about getting really sick at home. The funny thing about COVID-19 is that sometimes people don't breathe well, but they don't feel short of breath. And that's really quite dangerous because they don't know that they're not breathing well. That shows up as not thinking well. So maybe not remembering things or being a little bit confused. That's a very dangerous sign. If somebody has that sign, that's a reason to get assessed. And even to seek emergency care. So if someone's a little confused, that should raise a flag for you that they do need help. Okay, so Paxlovid, very exciting. It's not going to end the pandemic, but it's going to help us a lot. This is a combination of two antiviral medicines that are taken in a pill form for 5 days. The studies to date show that they prevent people from getting sick enough to needing hospital care. So a couple of things are great about this for UConn. One is that it's oral. You don't need to have a health center or a hospital to take the medicine. And the second is to prevent people from getting severely ill. There are a couple of caveats. Really, it's a good medicine for people who are older and have chronic conditions. For those people who are healthy in other ways, so healthy kidneys and healthy liver are really important for this medicine. These are some of the things that we have to be careful about. We are working actively trying to get this guidance out. It's very close to being finalized so that we can offer this medicine to people around the territory through community health centers and primary care and the emergency department, et cetera. Just finalizing and making a really good criteria to help it be safe, and also to ensure that people have the right kind of test to ensure they actually do have COVID, and then have the right monitoring. So we're really excited about this. We have 100 doses in territory. My understanding is we are going to receive more. When I say 100 doses, it's 100 courses. So 100, you know, patients can receive this. We want to see how as we continue to roll this out, similar to vaccines, there's still studies ongoing with the rollout phase. As millions of people now will receive this medicine, we might see some of the rare things that can happen, both the ways it helps and the ways any new side effects. So lots of new information will still be coming on this, and I'm really hopeful that it will help people get better at home and not need further care.
Thank you. Really appreciate your time today, and I want to thank you, and I'm sure we'll be having a conversation again very soon.
Oh, I look forward to that, Mathia. And I just want to send my best wishes to everyone out there. I know it's been a tough go for all of us. We don't like to be in and out of a blizzard of COVID for 2 years. And that's something we need to accept and learn and move forward together. And I'm hoping it brings us all closer together. Thank you so much.
Mishish, thank you.
Mishish.